consider us friends, although we love you so. Who knows just what sun is going to be humankind's last? All we can hope is that it's as sublime as this podcast. You can know just whether you consider us friends or foe. We love you so. Hello everyone, and welcome to The Rash Hour, the show that Vanity Fair called the fireside chat for the digital heat generation. My name is Bradley Brash, and we've got such a big show tonight that I don't think I'm even going to say hello to my friends.
This week on The Rash Hour, Elliot Gould Binker on his plans to eliminate the letter N.
I just think taking it out would make the alphabet song more funky, that's all.
Cornelius Garjuajuajue shrinks Tan-Tan down to the size of a neutron.
Thank you, Corny. I always hated being so tall.
And the whole team play quantum hide-and-seek.
Tan-Tan, are you 123 degrees west, shall we say, of the Euclid's?
Yes, I am. Well done.
But Tan-Tan, didn't you say before that you were 96 degrees east on the y-axis?
I'm there, too.
The Rash Hour. If it didn't exist, it would have to invent itself.
But first, Graham with the weather.
No, sorry, Bradley, that should read Graham with the weather.
Oh, sorry. And now, here's Graham with the weather.
Thank you, Bradley.
Weather Britain. Britain's uneasy multicultural climate will come to breaking point in July 2016 when an Amish insurrection results in an overthrow of the government and the transplanting of the royal family to a large barn. With a pop. Every pop record of the next 20 years is going to be a cover of either Scatman John's first hit, I'm the Scatman, be bop 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 bop, or his second hit, Scatman's World. In June 2027, there is going to be a referendum to decide which of these songs is going to become the new universal anthem. Please turn away now if you're planning to watch the televised election coverage. The clear winner will be Scatman's World. And finally, whither me? My marriage to myself will prove to be an extremely happy and contented one. I will be uncommonly devoted to myself, some will say to the detriment of outside friendships, and will be utterly inseparable, until that fateful day in June 2079 when I lose my left leg in an unfortunate Mobius strip accident. And that's the wither.
So, some good news and some bad news there.
Quite right, we're going to have to take the rough with the smooth, I'm afraid, Bradley.
Okay, and now...
Excuse me, Bradley.
Oh, hello, Martin. I'm sorry I didn't say hello to you before, but I was just in such a hurry.
Oh, no, I understand, Bradley. I didn't say hello to myself this morning either.
Life's too frantic, isn't it?
Quiet, yes. With that in mind, I should really get on with what I'm trying to say.
Oh, okay. I did like having this little chat, though.
Yes, me too. But now I realise that I'm actually stalling because I do hate to be the bearer of bad news.
Oh... Well, tell me anyway, please.
In the first episode of our show, we did a little rap.
Oh, yeah.
Well, unfortunately, the international hip-hop community heard this,
yeah.
Decided that we had mastered their form and given them no cause but to give up.
Oh, no.
And become cabinet makers.
Oh, no.
Therefore, the onus is now on us to continue the proud hip-hop tradition on our own.
I suppose it's the least we can do.
So, here is the second Rash recitative.
Once more round the block, boys.
This is existence music. This is existence. This is existence.
I'm got a bundle of joy. I've been rocking and rolling since I were a boy. Happiness for me is any time that I'm engaging, creating a witty rhyme. I'm lime, I'm mime, I'm victimless crime. I'm the earnings of brother, can you spare a dime? The boys wish they were me, the girls do too. I'm friends with the new bassist in the Who. My toes have turned, cause size and bone. My children's names are homophones. Cause I'm the kind of man who knows the score to Frederick Arnold's Terpsichore. Now that I've rapped,
this is existence music. This is existence music.
my name's Mick. A bass drum's tick in the middle of the night sets my soul alight. Or a snare or a rod, I ain't finished yet. The one sound I can't abide is a castanet. I'm a little drummer guy, except I'm 8 cubits high. If you meet the beat king, just call him I.
Your rhythm's a system, each hand a piston, going floor, knowing just where to land.
I get a grand for everything I hit. I'm one half burly beast and the other half wit. Cause I'm the kind of man who knows thyself. My favourite movie is Greed, my second favourite's Elf. Now that I've rapped, I've earned the right to get down tonight.
This is existence.
I'm in the mood for a rap by you. Maybe make it two, and make it loud, and make it proud, and make it as mysterious as a photographic shroud.
Well, I'll try. I've flown around the world on a paper plane. I've settled the theory of evolution at a conference in Spain. On my family tree, I'm under par. Metro-Goldwyn have asked me to star as Ringo Starr. The North Pole, I've disproven. I've been known to get even blue blood movement. I got dames in every port of call. I gave Miles Davis the very thought of call. Still, I'm in a dither, for I cannot get hither nor thither with you. For I'm the kind of man who knows the plan, that each one of us is a son of Pan. Now that I've rapped, I've earned the right to get rather down tonight.
Why is Rudy in such a bad mood? Listen to the rest of this episode. This is existence.
The Rash Hour, the sound of Dorothy Parker's heart making love to Irving Berlin's soul while thinking of your brain.
Now, we wouldn't want you to think we're serious all the time, so now we present a special joke segment, the greatest knock-knock jokes of Kovács Gábor. Kovács, as you know, is history's greatest knock-knock joke writer. Of course, the more plebeian of our listeners are probably not yet fluent in the Finno-Uralic languages, so we've been forced to literally translate the jokes from the original Hungarian. But that's not going to stop us from having fun, is it?
No! No.
Knock, knock.
Knock, knock.
Knock, knock.
Oh.
Oh, whoops. Sorry, it's so long since we did a knock-knock joke, we're a bit mixed up. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Stump.
Stump who?
Mutilation.
LOL.
How about another one?
Oh, yeah, good idea.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Barrel.
Barrel who?
Portable.
R-O-F.
Knock, knock. I'm
who's there?
I'm
who?
No, no, that wasn't it. Sorry, just let me catch my breath. Younger sister.
Younger sister who?
Urine.
Urine? Oh, that's disgusting.
Bradley.
What is it, Martin?
I fear this orgy of hilarity may be going too far.
I disagree. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
The honey.
The honey who?
The naked truth.
I can't take it anymore.
Bradley, please. You know as well as I do that our show is very popular among recent cesarean mothers and appendectomy patients.
So what?
I do not want to take responsibility for the splitting of their sides.
But Martin, I'm not even started. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Noon.
Noon who?
Dolphins. Well, I don't like that joke very much because dolphins are endangered.
Comedy bends. Tragedy breaks. The Rash Hour implodes upon itself, creating a whole new multiverse.
Wow, that link was a bit scary, wasn't it? We'd better have another one to cleanse our palates.
Why do birds suddenly appear every time rash are near?
Because rash use a special exciter process on their vocal tracts designed to attract the smaller avian species. You'll find more fascinating facts just like this if you continue listening to The Rash Hour.
We will turn this plane into
barren land. We will turn this plain into a town. Stick with me, I've got it planned.
Ch-ch-ch, boom, boom, boom.
By the river we will build our homes. Our friends can live upon the hills. From that river we will never roam. Darling, I can't wait until we have turned this plain into a ground our dreams upon. We will turn this town into a buzzing, bustling city anon.
Barren land, we will turn this plain into I said yes!
One day this town will just be the site for a speculative dig made by folk who dream and cry like us, but half as small or twice as big. Enemies fossilized side by side will seem to form just one man. As the rogues emerge, will they ask why they follow such a square plan? And if they may find the sheet music to this song preserved some way, they'll feed it into their piano low, and this is what it will say.
Oh, that was another scary song. I'm a bit shaken after that. Do you mind if I have a couple of minutes with my Vimbrow Jenkins doll, guys?
No, go ahead. Look after yourself, mate. Gotta look after yourself.
Vimbrow Jenkins dolly?
Yeah?
I'm a little frightened.
Why?
Because, well, you weren't turned on when we played it, so you wouldn't have heard it, but we just played a song from our last album and it had this scary backwards bit at the end of it. And it made me feel a bit funny inside.
What, sexual?
No, not that at all. Just, it gave me goosebumps.
Pull yourself together.
Okay, thank you. And now, here's a long-awaited segment. New England Lawson in conversation with Rudy Harrington Schmarrington. I'm looking forward to this.
Where were you when you discovered that Rudy Harrington Schmarrington existed? I recall the moment distinctly, for it was also the exact same moment I heard that John F. Kennedy had been shot. July 14th, 2002, when on a hot date with a blind girl, I found myself in the audience of Rudy's one-man show. I would suggest that you look it up on the theatrical database of your choice, but since it had no title or even symbol to act as unique identifier, such a recommendation would be useless. Nevertheless, the performance itself, in which Rudy yelled at a daffodil for 40 days and 14 nights, was unforgettable. We have met occasionally, debated Thomas Aquinas's theological argument on Greenlandian television 6 times, and played the odd game of darts at the footy club, but this is the first time we have met man to man with the express intention of discussing a topic dear to both our hearts, Rudy Harrington Schmarrington. Casually, he lights a cigarette and places it in the beak of a small canary. Perched in a gilded cage, which Rudy carries around in place of a handbag. Is this some sort of attempt at forced Dali-esque whimsy? If so, I consider setting my collared aardvark upon him. But before I have the chance to give the command, he explains
that I have a terrible fear.
He says
that one day I'm going to be in a room just like this, and by some strange quirk of science, the open window, much like the open window you see, is only going to let air out and none in, thus creating a vacuum which will eventually asphyxiate me and whoever else is in the room. So I keep my canary Neil Patrick Harris with me at all times.
And why, I ask, the cigarette?
Well, his mouth is too small for cigars. Apart from Pinto's, maybe, but
Do you think that your art may be a way of working through your phobia?
Well, firstly, no, I think that's sort of pop psychology in New England. I don't think it really impinges on my art that much at all. Maybe certain passages in my 16-novel series, Neil Patrick Harris, will save me from the void. But otherwise, no. And as to the second point, I take issue with the fact that you've called it a phobia, because a phobia is by definition irrational, and I see nothing irrational in being worried about any room turning into a vacuum.
So you think your beliefs are based on a strong scientific foundation?
Well, at least pseudoscientific, and that's good enough for me, because as you know, I've always found authenticity terribly vulgar.
I want to bash him for the calm lucidity of his answer. Would that I had such command of my own reasoning faculties. But rather than dwell on my jealousy, fun though it would certainly be, I think of all the reams of words written about Rudy Harrington Schmarrington. In my study alone, 16 shelves, all with words written by, about, or conspicuously avoiding the subject of him. And yet, so many unanswered questions. How, for instance, did he come to hold the name Harrington Schmarrington?
Well, it's really not that interesting a story. It's quite simple. My father was a Harrington, and my mother was a Harrington Schmarrington. They didn't know which one to call me, but my mother won rock, paper, scissors, so I got her name.
They agreed upon settling your name via the means of rock, paper, scissors?
No, they didn't agree at all, quite the opposite. Mother wanted rock, paper, scissors, father wanted to draw straws. They couldn't agree, so they decided to have a duel to settle it. Mother won, obviously.
Thankfully, Rudy's own family life has been free of such violent spousal conflict. He lives with his wife, Chloe, 2 lap dogs, 4 lap dancers, 8 Laplanders, and 17 curious young men who resemble more jovial Wilfred Owens. As Rudy casually mentions that his children bring him no joy, he notices the baby blue silk scarf I am wearing.
Most curious, New England. You know, my wife has a scarf, looks just like that.
I know, I say. It is her scarf. She gave it to me last night, after we made love.
Oh. Oh, I see.
He takes a sip of his coffee and grimaces.
I should have drunk it earlier. It's getting cold now. Blasted stuff. It's not serious, is it? Maybe you and my wife.
I don't know, I say, with a rehearsed shrug, for I have been contemplating this moment ever since last night. In truth, I knew exactly what it was. It was serious as anything I had ever done, up to and including my honors thesis about how John of Patmos was the true progenitor of Phil Spector's girl group sound.
Of course, I don't blame you if you want to take her away from you. She's a remarkable woman.
She is!
Is that what you're planning on doing?
I want to tell all, but cannot. Not yet. I convince myself that my reason for stalling is my desire for this to remain a professional interview up to my usual standards. I could not live with myself if the story I lodge to the Rash Hour is not of the quality of my previous. Let's not play the nauseating game of false modesty, journalistic tour de force as the likes of which the world has never before seen. Indeed, the very things that earned me the undying love of Chloe von Richthofer in the first place. Evidently, Rudy has the same feeling.
Are we going to carry on with the interview?
Yes. What is your favorite color?
Off gray.
Why?
I don't know, it makes me feel cheery.
Who is your favorite member of the Andrews sisters?
Bing Crosby.
Why has the scientific community still not accepted your theory that we evolved from goats?
Jealousy, I think. I can't conceive of any other possible reason.
I cannot take it anymore. I must tell him. I must tell him now. I feel it more than I ever had before, and my resolve is total. Rudy, I'm taking Chloe away from you. She is going to live with me. We are taking the dogs, the lap dancers, the Laplanders, and the men who look like Wilfred Owen. But we are leaving you, the children.
Oh. Oh, very well. Is that the end of the interview, then?
Yes. We shake hands. As I turn to walk away triumphantly, I note that my love for Chloe has suddenly disappeared.
Thank you, New England.
Next week on The Rash Hour, everyone speaks in soft voices so we don't scare Bradley again. Octave Tantan finds the Higgs boson caught in his left lapel. And the Vimbrail Jenkins dolly takes a deeper look into the Indonesian cattle exporting sanctions and the effect it's going to have on our farmers.
Join us then
for The Rash Hour.
Now we're through, hope that you can take our bidding adieu. We must head on now. After taking one more bow, now you wake, now you take one big breath and start to shake like an overstressed dam. At this one last chance, someone gets off of their seat and presses repeat.